So there are a ton of improv shows in New York City. What makes yours different?
I like to think that what we do with our show, the style of it is we do an older, I don't want to say old-fashioned, but it is an older style of improv. It's a short-form improv, much like from the television show Whose Line Is It Anyway? Those style of quick improvs that get people involved very quickly. Scenes go on for a short amount of time. And then you move on. You move on to the next scene, the next scene, the next scene. So I like to think that what sets us apart is, A, we're doing this style that I don't know, not a lot of people in New York City are doing anymore, and that we have really good professional people who've been doing it for a while, and not necessarily in a matter of, like, an age. It's not like it's all filled with senior citizens, but people who, been doing it. Like, even the young people in our cast, they've been doing this for 3, 4, 5 years. So they got, you get a rhythm going, you get it down. That's, I think, what sets our show apart. I mean, it's a fun night. It's quick. I think that there's going to be a lot to go on and some really good work by some excellent actors.
Do you think the resurgence of Whose Line Is It Anyway kind of helps the improv community?
Yeah, it absolutely does. The show always, and there were people who would look at it and go, and there's a lot, pool potted, or it's a different style. I've always believed that improv should have just be open. You do this style, I do that style. Maybe I'll do your style, maybe you'll do my style. I don't think this competitive of one being better, it kind of defeats the purpose of what improv is, because improv at its core should be just and improvement. So where styles are different, I want to do this and you want to do that, cool. There shouldn't be an attack against it. And I think a lot of people sort of went against the Whose Line kind of mantra, and I always loved it for what it was. It made you laugh, and I don't see anything wrong with that. And I think that's the bottom line for me. I said, hey, did you have to use the show? Oh, don't worry about what they're doing or in style or if it was filmed or this, that, the other thing. It made you laugh. That's ultimately what the goal is, when you step out in front of an audience. Is, did they laugh? Did they have a good time? They paid money to see you perform? Do they walk away happy? That's a good thing. It's like, all right, that's it. I got nothing else.
Are you guys working on anything new for the fall season?
What we did was we decided, or I decided, as the group's director and the artistic director is, sometimes you start working with the same, you start to work with the same people, and it gives you a chance to bring in improvs that we haven't done for a while. They're ones that kind of fall off the map. And, you forget about them and you don't do them because you start to do really, really well with certain games and you start to do them excellently and everybody gets good at it, and even though each week is going to be different because you never know what the suggestion is going to be or whatever the situation, but what I try to do is, look back at my old, I've been doing this for 20 years now, and I'm looking back at sort of the mental, my mental Rolodex and going, what games did we used to do? What games that I haven't done for a long time? And with being able to rehearse with the same core group of people, it's like, okay, we haven't done this game for a while. Let's bring it back. Let's rehearse it once or twice just so everybody gets on the same page of what the form is, and let's do that. So with our fall season, which started in September, early September, the first Friday in September, and I brought in a couple of, we've been working on some new improvs that we haven't done for a while, and with great success on stage. Once the people... the good thing about our cast and off the top of our heads is that, the people that I work with, they're such good improvisers that once we get them, it's like, okay, here's what this game is, and here's what you have to do in it, and here's what the A to Z that we have to get to. And once they get that, it's like, oh, okay, then we could try it on stage. So we've had some success with that. That's what I still try to do. I like to keep the show fresh for the performers, so it never gets into a rut, so to speak. It's like, oh, we're doing this game every single week. I'll take games and put them away for a while, no matter how successful they are, because you get in a rut. The audiences are always different, so they don't know, but the performers, and I can speak to this, having been in shows for so many years, like, oh, we're doing that game again. I really love doing that game. We're doing that game again. It's like every week we do that game. Oh, okay. It's like, oh, wait, what's this? I haven't done this in 8 months. Ooh, and you get excited, and you get more challenged, I feel, as an improviser.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the cast a little bit, because they're the ones that kind of make this, as special as it is. So tell us a little bit about some of your performers.
We have a core group of performers that we work with from usually 6 to 8 people, and we try to keep the show cast down to 6 per week. My feeling for that is more stage time for everybody. There's more to do. There were times in the past when I had larger casts, sometimes as many as 9 or 10 people in it. But the feedback that I started to get, it's a process that changes. Sometimes you go through, you do something one way for 6 months, and it's like, oh, okay, let's change it up. The feedback I was getting from a lot of people was, well, you know, we're not, you know, you're off stage a lot when there's not 10 people in a cast or 11 or, you know what I mean? You don't get a lot to do.
Yeah.
You're in a couple of, whereas if you're in a 6-person cast, you're going to be up. You're working. And it keeps your mind sharp. Huge hands because of the sit down time. So he's going to be, okay, I'm in this. I'm in almost everything in the show in one way or another. So it's kind of like a muscle. You work the muscle and it challenges yourself and you're ready to go on point, so to speak. So we have some very, very good people who haven't worked with a long time. A couple of the performers in the show I've been working with for close to 10 years now. Two of our performers, Nanette Deasy and Kirk Dixon, have been at Gothic for almost that one. Nanette has been. We used to work together in this show when I was a performer in it. Kirk Dixon, who studied at the Groundlings in Los Angeles years ago. And they're great core members. And then over the course of the past couple of years, meeting people, two of our other performers, Alex Deaconess and Leanne Linsky, who I've worked with at other venues and who are around here, who I brought in, started to come in these shows, and come into work and to teach and to do other things. And that's great. And I love working with them. You know, it's like they blended in with the cast. And then two other performers, one, Alexis Levinson, who I met doing charity improv work, group that worked Cherub Improv, which is a group that goes to hospices and cancer facilities and runaway children, put on free shows to give, elder care facilities. It's a group that I still do work with. You know, we just go there. People who don't get a lot of entertainment, you know, don't have a chance to see live entertainment for the most part. Here, we're going to do a show for you. And I met her through that. She's incredibly funny and brought her into the company. And our youngest member of the company, although I think, you know, I'm not an ageist. Maddie O'Hara is someone who I met through an old director of mine who was her improv and that drama teacher at college down in Savannah, Georgia, who's a dear friend of mine. And he came up and said to me, look, this person's in New York. Now you should meet her. She's really good. And I was like, okay. And I did. And she was. It is. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, my God. You know, and the fact that she was trained by someone who used to direct me at Berkowitz, you see the same kind of, you know what I mean? You see the same kind of things.
It's like a reflection of yourself, basically.
Yeah, you see your reflection. It's like, oh, my God, we have the same way of doing this because our friend, our friend David Stork trained us, at different times in our lives, of course. But, we know this. So that core group put together. We have a couple of other performers who come in sometimes. Christopher Berger is one of our performers, and he went to school through the system. Everybody there pretty much, we have so many people who went through the program. Pretty much everybody at some one point or another went through the classes and went through the program and did it and learned, took, and now some of them teach. A bunch of them teach almost like, Maddie and Kurt and Christopher and Nanette teach, and Leanne has done workshops, and Alex teaches, and I love to get the people, if they have time, to get in there and just like, it's all this. This is all about them. You have all the people. Other folks, like I used to be, I used to have a regular day job, and so my improving would be always at night. And it was like, I got to work 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, and then those 3 hours after that was improv. And you still have a couple of people do that. You know, you got to make ends meet. Improv, the improv streets are not paved with gold. Sometimes you just gotta stick it in money where you can get it. So, yeah, I gotta survive this, and I gotta take the day job. So that's the way it goes. But I'm very lucky to work with these people because they're terrific improvisers. They have a lot of spirit, a lot of soul, and it's just fun to do that show every Friday night at 8 o'clock. Cheap, shameless plug. I just got it.
And Friday night at 8 o'clock. Tickets are also only $6, and you could bring your own beer. So
$6 tickets. It's BYOB in the theater, so we encourage people to do that. For the most part, it always, I will tell you the honest, every so often, if you get some people who perhaps do a little pre-gaming, as they like to say, and they can be interesting when it comes to shouting out suggestions. If they pre-gamed a lot, and you just sort of like, oh, this is live theater. How do we deal with this? Okay? And I host the show, I host the games and bring the actors out on stage, so I'm usually the one that has to deal with the person.
Yeah, rein in.
We had a show a few weeks back in May or June, I can't remember when. Uh-huh. But we had a few people there who were drinking some wine, and I guess had been drinking some wine for maybe a week or so beforehand, I'm not sure. And they really, one of the ladies really wanted to see a bachelorette party scene. And she kept saying, even after we had done the bachelorette party scene, which we said, okay, I'll do that. And then later on, I said, that sponge has been wrung out. The bachelor party scene, I don't think there's any more comedy left in the bachelor party scene. But thank you very much. Please have another drink. So you deal with it. It's live.
Uh-huh.
You know, you hope that, you know, everyone gets kind of, it's fun and not kind of mean-spirited or anything. You want to keep it on a fun tip and not have any bad vibes coming out of it.
I gotcha. So, last question from me. I'm going to give you a hypothetical here. I'll give you a chance to kind of improv a little bit for us. There's someone outside the theater, and they see the marquee, and they're kind of like, oh, do I go? Do I not go? And they're kind of like, you know, taking that step in and taking that step out. And you can kind of walk over to them and sell them the show and get them in that theater. What do you say to them?
You're going to have fun. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to laugh. You're going to want to think about doing that. Whether you're not in show business or not, you're going to say, wow, this is cool. And I would like to find out information about how to do that, because, you know, we do classes there as well. And I say it's an hour show, Friday night at 8 o'clock. You come in, you enjoy yourself. When the show is done, you still got all Friday night in front of you to go do whatever you want to do. Go out, drink some more. Go out, get a nice meal, you know. And what you'll see on stage will be like professionalism at the height. Really great improvisers practicing their craft, knowing what they do, and them having fun on stage with each other. It's really important to me to know that you have a cast on stage that respects and likes and has freedom with each other. Because an audience can see that and an audience can buy into that. That trust that people have on stage. It's like, okay, we're going here. And I have that with groups that I've worked with and still do with the show that I do. It's just like, you know what? I got you. You know, you may think that I'm fine with where we're going. And even if that means physicality. Because we're very fortunate to have a lot of great improvisers who will use that physicality. You know, that kind of like, yeah, this is going to get physical. We're going to be on stage and there's going to be people touching and, you know, holding on to things and moving into somewhat strange positions. And it's not weird. It's like, okay, this is just, yeah, I'm cool with it. We're acting here. We're doing a thing. You do that. So I think people who see the show appreciate that professionalism and like that fun.